Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapara Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Cha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bhando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopivakanta Rarakanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanang Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So we've been asked today to speak on the subject of science and spirituality. So, the title suggests that they are actually two different things. But that's actually a misconception. Actual spirituality means to know things as they are. Actually, what is called science in the modern day world factually is pseudoscience. Real science means to understand what is the origin of everything. That is science. Modern day scientists, they say, well, there are some chemicals, and they did this and that, and so many things happened. They start in the middle point. You see. They don't go back to the origin. They don't understand what is the origin. Therefore, their science is actually pseudoscience. It is not genuine science. In Sanskrit, the word is vidya. So, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pachakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamam Vidyam. This knowledge, this science, is the king of all education. It is the purest science, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, is the perfection of spirituality. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So, the topmost, the king of all science, is also the most secret of all secrets, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. To the learned transcendentalists, those who realize in the absolute truth, it is not a secret. But to the general population, it remains secret. To the so-called scientists, quote-unquote scientists, it remains a secret. And because the people in general follow the scientists, therefore for them it also remains secret. So if we actually want to know things as they are, we need to go to the actual scientists, not the pseudo-scientists. We have to go to the actual scientists. An actual scientist means that person who understands what is the origin of everything. Who understands what is the ultimate source from which everything is coming. That is God. Krishna reveals in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham sravasya pravavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So actually, a person who knows Krishna, who knows God, who knows the original source of all existence, that person is a scientist. I one time had the opportunity to attend one scientific gathering at the University of Florida in Gainesville. This was around, I think, I would say 1973, 1974. There was one esteemed scientist who would come in from California or somewhere, and he was presenting the black hole theory. You may have heard the black hole theory. And he was very elaborately presented. He had a slideshow. They turned off all the lights, and he did this on the wall. He did his slideshow. There was about 3,000 students there, along with their professors. So I raised my hand when there was question and answer time. I told him throughout the history of, I asked him this. I said, is this a theory or is it a fact? And he said, I think it's a fact. I think it's a fact. Note the word I think. And then some other questions came in and I asked him again. I said, throughout the history of science, we have seen that one theory becomes popular for some time, and then in due course, it is replaced by another theory. So how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? Now note, I was calling it a theory, even though he just said it was not a theory. It was called a loaded question. But he bought into the loaded question. And he says, I hope it is, because then we will be making progress. So just see the rascaldom. He's stating this as fact, and now he's saying, well, when it's shown to be false, that will be the advancement of science. So this is the methodology of science. Whoever can put forward the most convincing argument right now that they know what truth is accepted as being truth. But everyone knows, if you simply look at the history of science, that they don't really know what the truth is. It's just whoever has the most convincing theory right now. They can defeat all opposing arguments until someone else can come up with a more convincing theory to defeat all those arguments. And that's what they call science. So that is pseudoscience. Kaitava vidya, cheating science. But actual science means to know things as they are. Actual science is called Atma Tattva, the science of the self. To know who you are, the individual Atma, and to know Param Atma, the supreme Atma. One who is a master of this Atma science, Paramatma science, Atma Tattva, Paramatma Tattva, they are the true scientists. And because the nature or the origin of all that exists is actually spiritual, therefore there is no difference between true spirituality and true science. Now, just as we have a problem with pseudoscience, we also have a problem with pseudo-spirituality as well. We don't blindly accept anyone who claims to be a spiritualist, because many people, in the name of spirituality, propound all kinds of insanities, isn't it? So we don't blindly accept anyone of any designation. We have to see, does this person actually know the truth? Does this person actually live the truth? Such a person will be a true spiritualist and a true scientist simultaneously. At the present time, the whole world is suffering due to a lack of such enlightened personalities. Formerly, they were known as Brahmins. But nowadays, can we expect that someone who is claiming to be a Brahmin will be realized in the absolute truth, become completely free from all vice, and be fully dedicated to giving that knowledge freely to the whole world. That is the real meaning of Brahman. Where do we see such Brahmins in the world today? But in former times, in Vedic times, the Brahmins were like them. They were the true spiritualists, the true spiritual leaders, and the true scientists. Even a few centuries ago, in one place in Bengal, actually we have our world headquarters at Navadvip, Mayapur, on the bank of the sacred Ganga. So the nearest big city to our Mayapur project, that is called Krishna Nagar. So in this Krishna Nagar, there was one learned Brahmin, and the king, his name was Krishna Chandra. So he heard that in his kingdom there was a Brahmin who was impoverished. He thought, oh, I cannot allow that some Brahmin in my kingdom should be a poor man. I will go and bestow riches upon him. So he came to the place where the Brahmin was living. Actually, he did not have a house, he was living under a tree. With his wife also, they were living under a tree. He said, oh, Brahmin, it was a tamarind tree. He said, oh, my dear Brahmin, I've heard you're poverty stricken, I've come to bestow all wealth and riches upon you. And the Brahmin said, poverty stricken? What are you talking about? He said, my students come for lessons, and in their hand they bring one palmful of rice. And my wife, she takes a leaf from this tamarind tree, and she boils the rice with the tamarind leaf, and we eat very luxuriantly. How you can say I'm poverty stricken? I don't need your wealth. This is Brahman. He has no interest to acquire material sense gratification facilities. He simply wants to present the truth. That's all. The true wisdom is given in Vedas. Perfect knowledge is given as to the origin of all that exists. The origin of existence is explicitly described in the Vedic wisdom. And how you can become realized, and learned and realized in that in your relationship with that, the source of all that exists. So anyone who is willing to submit themselves to the training given by the bona fide spiritual master, as confirmed by the great sadhus, and as confirmed by the Vedic wisdom, that person can become a true spiritualist and a true scientist. So this is our mission. Our spiritual master is Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, has given us this formula of how to actually realize the origin of all existence and how to make that comprehensible to those who are willing to learn the science, how to make it understandable. So now we are traveling all over the world. This is my wife, my good wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. So she and I are traveling all over the world simply to give this knowledge of what is actual spirituality and what is actual science, and how they are actually one and the same. There's no difference. If you know the origin of all that exists, if you have realized what is your relationship with the origin of all that exists, then you are perfect in spirituality and you are perfect in science. You're not lacking in either spirit, because actually they are not different. They are one and the same. But in the modern day world, we have separated science and religion, two different departments. This means they don't know what is science and they don't know what is religion. In this age of Kali, they have separated because they don't have knowledge of that. They're an illusion. A person or a being who is conditioned by the material nature must be subject to four defects. First of all, his senses are imperfect. It's like if we hear some loud explosion in this mahallway out here, because our senses are imperfect, we cannot be sure what caused it. Maybe someone shot a gun. Maybe someone threw a firecracker. We don't know. Or maybe the furnace blew up. You know, something happened. We don't know what it is. Our senses are imperfect. Because our senses are imperfect, we have the second defect. That defect is that we have a tendency to be illusioned. And because we have the tendency to be illusioned, then we are subject to a third defect, which is we make mistakes. And with that third defect of making mistakes, then we are subject to a fourth defect, which is we are, what is that? Proud. We are proud. We're thinking, no, I don't make any mistakes. I'm great. That's called cheating. We pose ourselves as persons who are beyond making mistakes, when actually we make so many mistakes. Even our great leaders of this world, they make so many mistakes. It's like you're a Mahatma Gandhi. He was warned, there is danger, do not go to that prayer meeting. He ignored and he was shot dead. So we are subject to making so many mistakes, because these four defects, imperfect senses, tendency to be illusion, making mistakes, and proudly posing ourselves as learned persons beyond the ability to make mistakes. Cheaters, in other words. Because of these four defects, we cannot know things as they are. So how will we know things as they are? We will know things as they are by approaching that source of knowledge which is beyond the defects of material existence. That's how we will realize the truth. You have to approach that source of knowledge which is beyond the defects of this material existence. We can say, well, you know, our senses may be imperfect, but the scientists certainly have solve that problem. I mean, we have microscopes and we have telescopes. And we have all through modern technology. Now we have perfect ability to perceive things with all of our instruments. One can make that argument. We have so many high-tech ways of seeing things now. But, you know, they say, yes, you're right, our senses are imperfect, but you know, but by our technology, now we have perfect perception. One could make that argument. But I ask you this. Have they simply increased the perceptual power, or have they actually gained absolute perfect perception? All they've done is increase it. They've increased their perceptual powers, granted, through modern technology. But that doesn't mean that the perceptions they're getting through their microscopes, their telescopes, etc., are now perfect. All they're doing is expanding their imperfect senses. That's all they're doing. That doesn't mean their perceptual power is now perfect. Previously they were analyzing in their brain, now they plug it into a big computer and they have the computer analyze it, the data. But who programmed that computer? So they really haven't broken through the imperfect senses tendency to be illusioned barrier by modern technology. They haven't done it. Haven't done it. Why? Why they have not been successful? There are two systems of acquiring knowledge. The modern day empirical scientists and the mental speculators, they are following the method known as the ascending method or Aroha Pantha. They want to, through their own power, to enter into the realm of perfect knowledge. But because they are doing that out of the realm of imperfect knowledge, they don't know the methodology. They cannot know the methodology for realizing perfect knowledge, because their method of how to realize it has been constructed from within the realm of imperfection. Do you understand the point? If I'm imperfect and I think, well, now I'll figure out a system how to get perfect knowledge, but that system for getting perfect knowledge must by its very definition be imperfect, because I'm concocting it within my imperfection. So this process of ascending knowledge, Aroha Pantha, it will not actually allow you to penetrate from the covering between the realm of imperfection and the realm of perfection. If one actually wants to have perfect knowledge, then one must follow the other way, which is called Avaroha Pantha, or, in English, the descending method. When you get help from that, you get special mercy from that realm of perfection, when the rope ladder, as it were, is thrown to you, then you grab onto it, then you can be pulled out. That system of knowledge, that realization, that must come by the mercy of someone who is in that realm of perfection. So that is known as the bona fide spiritual master. That is known as the realized devotees of the Lord. That is known as the Vedic wisdom. Tene brahma hridayadikavaye muyanti yatsuryaha. The Vedic wisdom was given from within by Krishna, from within the heart of Brahmaji. Adikavi refers to Brahmaji, the first demigod, the creator of the universe. In the beginning of this universe, he actually took birth on a lotus flower which had grown from the navel of Gavadakshai Vishnu, who was lying down in the... This is not mythology. This is scientific fact. Gavadakshai Vishnu was lying down in the bottom of the ocean, the Garbhadak Ocean, not the Atlantic Ocean. He was lying in the Garbhadak Ocean, which fills up the bottom half of the universe. And from his lotus, from his navel, grew forth a lotus flower. And from that lotus flower, he gave birth to Lord Brahma. As we've explained previously, if you want to have a son, you have to make your wife pregnant. Of course, you have to get married first. You don't have a wife. You have to get a wife, and then you have to make your wife pregnant. See, and then you can have a son. But Gavadakshai Vishnu, he did not require a wife, nor did he require any process of impregnating. From his own navel, he simply grew a lotus flower, and from that lotus flower, Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma now is sitting there. At that time, the universe was completely dark. And he was wondering, who am I? What am I doing here? What's going on? He didn't know. All he knew was he didn't know what was going on. So he thought, well, I better start meditating. He started exploring, tried to figure out. He crawled down the stem of the lotus flower trying to see what was going on. Couldn't find out anything. He went back up and he prepared to meditate, and then he heard, what happened was, he heard two syllables of the Sanskrit alphabet, the Sparsha alphabet. He heard ta pa, vibrated within the darkness. Ta pa. He knew, now I have to do austerities, I have to meditate. So, actually, he underwent austerities, meditation, and the whole spiritual world was revealed to him beyond this material existence. All the Vedic wisdom is revealed to him. So in this way, the perfect knowledge, you see, the perfect science was given from within the heart of Brahma by Krishna. And that knowledge has now come down to us. It is known as the Vedic wisdom. Just like when you get a piece of equipment, just like I procured this MP3 recorder so we can record these lectures and put them on the internet so thousands of people can hear them all over the world. You may think, well, there's hardly anyone here today, but actually many people can hear this lecture. So when you get a gadget like this, the buttons are different from other gadgets, so you have to get out the owner's manual to see, well, this button does this, this button does that. And this way one can learn to use the device. So, with this human form of life, you get an owner's manual that is called the Vedic wisdom that tells us how to utilize this life we have been given to achieve the maximum benefit, the maximum result, the ultimate attainment, which is spiritual enlightenment. Pure Krishna prema, Krishna consciousness. Universal consciousness, Prabhupada also called it, or cosmic consciousness. The methodology, the instructions, the techniques of how you can perfect your present status, whether you're a student, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever you may be, a military man, whatever you may be, how you can utilize this human life that you have right now to achieve the topmost perfection of existence. How you can become a true spiritualist and a true scientist. How to get off the platform of pseudo-spiritualism and pseudo-science to the genuine platform of spirituality and science. Everyone is meant to do that. Everyone, every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet is meant to practice Krishna consciousness. Everyone should be practicing Krishna consciousness, because this will enable one to actually be who they are. We are not these bodies. We are eternal spiritual beings, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Right now, we've forgotten it. We're thinking, I'm male, I'm female, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Indian, I'm American. These are called false designations. We have to wake up and realize I've been sleeping in the lap of Maya for millions of lifetimes, reincarnating again and again through 8,400,000 different species of life. Now it's time to get out of this cycle and come back to my, or go back to my original position as an eternal servant of the Supreme Being in his eternal existence in the spiritual world. This is the real purpose for which science is meant. True science is that which liberates us from the cycle of birth and death. That which entangles us deeper in the cycle of birth and death is called nescience. Nescience. So we encourage you that even though you may have to pursue the pathway of nescience in order to get a degree and get a job, that's alright. While you're pursuing the pathway of nescience, At the same time, you must pursue the pathway of actual science, the science of the self. Especially, we recommend that you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is the most authoritative and complete edition of Bhagavad Gita ever presented in the history of the world, along with elaborate purports, which give the import, the deep inner meanings of each and every shloka of the Bhagavad Gita. We urge you to study very carefully Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Because by reading this book, you will become a true scientist, a true spiritualist. You will achieve the topmost perfection known as spiritual enlightenment, Krishna consciousness. So, we can ask now if there's some questions. Yeah.
As we're talking about science and spirituality, science so far has been proving quite discoveries or inventions, and we are using it in our everyday life too, and taking some of the aspects that they are showing as truth, for example, like the lunar eclipse or solar eclipse.
The what?
Lunar eclipses and solar eclipses.
Yes.
Eclipse, yes. Yeah, but the Vedic science has been accurately predicting lunar and solar eclipses for tens of thousands of years, long before the modern-day science, so-called science, ever came into being. They've been accurately predicting lunar and solar eclipses long before modern science ever came on the scene. So what is your great accomplishment?
One of the articles that I came across was that there's a description of the eclipse of form because of Rahu and Ketu chasing each other or something like that. And that's why that's why these eclipses form. That's what I came across in an article that I read in one of the...
It's a popular belief that Rahu and Ketu actually form the eclipses. And he's trying to find out whether, you know, how that is in conjunction to the scientific theory. Is it leading somewhere, or how does it happen?
What we read in the Vedas are authoritative information. The scientists, modern day scientists, don't know about this stuff yet. But that's authoritative stuff. What you read in the Vedic wisdom about Rahu, Ketu, etc., that is authoritative.
As Rahu and Ketu, they see as planets.
Shadow of the moon and
shadow of the moon. They do not see that these are their personalities also. They do not see that moon is also a
personality. There's so many things. They don't understand that there's actually life on every planet. The scientists don't know that yet. There's so many things they haven't figured out. They haven't even counted all the species on this planet yet. I mean, they're really deficient. I mean, you know, they've done, because of their good karma and past pious activities, they've had some success in, you know, doing different things, building airplanes, making MP3 recorders. You know, they do have some success. But that success is very limited. Very, very limited. They haven't taught us how to escape the cycle of birth and death. That's the most important information. They have not a clue for them. They remain themselves entangled in birth and death. The persons who are supposed to be enlightening us with knowledge of the universe don't know how to get out. The most important thing when you're on a sinking ship is to know how to get out. Where's the lifeboat? You see, that's the most important thing. They want to analyze the ship. That's the modern day science. They want to analyze the ship in full detail. We have minutely analyzed this ship, every part of the ship, very proudly. But the most important thing is, where's the lifeboat? How to get off the ship? How to get out of this place? That's the most important knowledge. Where's the escape hatch? How can I get out of here? That's the real thing. Yes.
They have analyzed the ship, but they do not know that the ship is sinking also.
Yeah, they don't realize. They think, oh, this is very... Well, some of them are saying now that unless we settle on... One famous physicist has now said that unless we can find a way to build colonies, self-sufficient colonies on other planets, the human species will disappear. Because the Earth is going to get so messed up that we have to find a way somewhere else to have self-sufficient communities on other planets.
Actually, to add to that, if you see, you don't have to go so far that you just go back to 2001 when the buildings were falling down. People in the buildings were thinking that nothing is going to happen, they are going to live. And
exactly.
They stayed there, and people stayed there, they died, and people who were intelligent enough to run out of the buildings were smart enough to live.
What is it?
What I said, that they do not know the ship is sinking. So in the year 2001, when those two World Trade Centers were coming down, they were saying nothing is going to happen. And those who stayed in the building, they died. And those who were intelligent enough ran out. So
yeah, yeah.
Themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Some people just stay there thinking everything's okay.
So the scientists are still telling us to stay here, everything is fine.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Right now. Yes?
The senses are imperfect. So, through the imperfect senses, how can one understand perfect knowledge?
Yes. How can you? Since your senses are imperfect, how can you possibly know anything with imperfect senses? This is one question that is sometimes put forward. You have to purify your senses, that's all. Simple process. It's a fact, with imperfect senses you cannot realize the perfect truth. That's a fact. But through the process of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, you can purify your senses so they're no longer imperfect. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shamushundaram yachintya gunas varupam govinda madipurusham tamaham bhajami. If you anoint your imperfect eyes with the ointment of love of God, then they become perfect. You can see God directly within and without. And the same with all your senses, your ears, your mind, subtle sense of the mind. If you purify all of your senses with Krishna prema, love of God, then they all your senses will become perfect. The imperfect senses will become perfect. And you will directly experience God with all of your senses. That is called perfect senses. Question, yes.
So, with the imperfect senses, the scientists are trying to go to the other planets looking for some civilization. Would they be able to see some civilization?
And even if they went to the moon, which many people are disputing that now, but even if they did go to the moon, they didn't see anything except for some dust, some rocks, a few craters here and there. So, even if they went to the moon planet, they didn't see the actual civilization, the heavenly civilization which existed there. Even if they went to the moon, they landed there, but they didn't clear customs, as it were. So, if you actually want to see the moon civilization and the moon beings, then you have to develop suitable senses to do that. The earthly beings don't have the sensual power to even perceive the moon civilization. They don't have that power. Even when they're in all their instruments, they can't. It's beyond their instruments to even perceive it. So, if they want to actually go to the moon planet and see meet the moon beings and see the wonderful palaces in which the moon beings are living, they will have to then become devotees of the moon god and qualify to get a moon body in their next lifetime. The earthly being doesn't have the sensual wherewithal to actually perceive the moon civilization. Is it? Questions more?
Actually, they say that the universe expands and then starts contracting and becomes a black hole, and then it starts expanding again.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't you think that is in conjunction with the Vedic?
There is some connection, because according to Vedas, Mahavishnu exhales and all the universes come out, and when he inhales they all go back with him. So the material unit, they don't understand that there's a conglomeration of universes. So, but maybe some physicist has now done that, but the Vedic science teaches us that there's an unlimited number of universes. They're like little mustard seeds in a bag of mustard seeds. This whole thing that we see, night, the stars, is just one little universe, and there's a conglomeration of millions and billions of universes. And all of these universes are withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu every time he inhales. Right now, we are halfway between his exhalation and his inhalation. The duration of time is 311 trillion years. So 155 trillion years ago, Mahavishnu exhaled, this universe came out, and it's just right in the middle right now. And then gradually it will be taken back in to a state of non-manifestation. All the living entities here, the jivas, who are living out their karma and creating new karma, they will not be destroyed when the universe is destroyed. They will go into a state of suspended animation within the body of Mahavishnu, and their karma will be, you know, encoded and recorded, so that when they come out again, they just pick up where they left off karmically. Karma chakra is not interrupted by the destruction of the universe. Even when the universe is destroyed, your karma is not destroyed. The only way to get rid of your karma is to surrender to Krishna. And then you don't have to wait for the end of the universe. You can end your karma right now, tonight. Simply have to agree to surrender yourself to Krishna. And you can end that karma chakra right now if you want. If you're tired of it, you can end it now by surrendering to Krishna. Any further questions? There's nothing else, then you can distribute the halava. Everyone can have a big halava, as much as they want. Or should we have kirtan first? Yeah, we'll have kirtan first, and then halava. Hare Krishna.